all the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It's a Friday, and it is a special Friday. We'll talk about why here in a second. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for joining me on the air on this Friday, 13th day of June. Oh, there it is, Friday the 13th. Today is Friday the 13th, and Mello will join me, too.
Good morning. Sorry.
Mello, are you superstitious or a little stitious?
I'm not superstitious, no. My birthday is on the 13th. Of okay. December, so I always have. I turned 16 on Friday the 13th. I love 13th, my lucky number.
I believe there's a phobia called triskaidekaphobia, which is fear of the number 13 or 3. I'm not sure which one, but anyway, either way, I don't. I guess I don't get it. And here I'm going to play this report for you. It kind of paints a picture of. Apparently, there are a lot of people who don't like the number 13.
Millions of people in this country have a paralyzing dread of Friday the 13th. Some won't go to work today, some won't eat in restaurants, and many would never plan their wedding for Friday the 13th. No one's exactly sure where the legend of Friday the 13th being unlucky began, though researchers feel the superstition is very old. Folklore experts say it's the combination of Friday and 13, as both the day and the number have historically been connected to bad luck. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
I guess I need some evidence to show me the money, as it were, right? I want a proof. Is Friday the 13th unlucky?
I think it's maybe it has to do with those horror movies that were Friday the 13th and those slasher movies. Maybe
But before those, I mean, that's why they named it Friday the 13th, because Friday the 13th was already considered unlucky. And they capitalized on, I guess, I don't know, our deep, dark fears. But I've never had a problem with Friday the 13th. I've never felt like anything unlucky has happened to me on that day.
No, I love it. Like, that's but my number.
I can tell you, over the years covering different sports, I've been doing games for 31 years and covering for various newspaper outlets. And I can tell you, there's some very superstitious athletes. I remember one kid. He would wear the exact same socks the exact same way every time he played, which, okay, that doesn't sound that bad, but then you consider that he also refused to wash them during the course of the season. I said, why do you do that? He says, well, first time I ever wore these socks, I went 4 for 4. I got 4 hits and including a home run in the game. He says, so these socks are going to be, the rest of the year. These are my lucky socks. So
that's so interesting. I just looked it up and it said in Christianity that it has to do with the Last Supper. The final meal before Jesus Christ was crucified on Thursday had 13 guests in attendance.
I've never heard that before. Yeah, I've also heard, with the 12 apostles and Jesus, that makes the number 13 too. But I can tell you this, there is no reference to Friday and 13 together. And I mean, there's Good Friday and then there's the 13, like you said, the 13 at the Last Supper stuff, but never do they pair the two Friday the 13th together. I just thought that was interesting. But if you are a person who doesn't like Friday the 13th, feels like it's unlucky, more power to you. That's up to you. But I've never seen any evidence. I'm kind of an evidence guy. I want to see it.
Don't they have hotels where they omit 13, the 13th
most,
floor?
Most tall buildings will not have a 13th floor. Most. In fact, I've never been in one that did have a 13th floor.
Doesn't that make the 14th floor the 13th floor, though?
Technically, yes.
Okay. I don't know. Just thinking.
But it's called 14.
Okay.
Right?
So it's okay.
But if you get on an elevator in one of those big buildings, I don't know if you've ever done this. Get in a building, get on an elevator, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14.
I'm going to pay attention next time. I don't recall that.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's absolutely true. I've been in many tall buildings in big cities in my life, and not one of them have had a 13th floor.
Okay.
So I think that it's a tradition more than really a superstition. But
there you go.
Anyway. Also this weekend is Father's Day.
Yay for fathers.
Now, it's interesting. This is neither here nor there, but I'm going to bring it up to light. Americans spent $34.1 billion on Mother's Day this year.
Mm-hmm.
The projected spending for Father's Day this year, $24
billion.
Mm. We spend an average of $260 a person on moms and an average of $199 a person for dads. Mm. So I don't know. Make of that what you will.
I have a theory.
Okay. I'd love to hear your theory.
Okay. My theory is, at least with my husband, he doesn't want me to spend more money than I'm already spending. Mm. So please don't spend more money on me.
Well, you know what's funny? When you came in today, you said, what's your desire? What would you like for Father's mm-hmm. Day? And it took me a couple of minutes. And the reason is that I'm 59 years old. If I want something, I go and buy it. And,
that's valid.
And so I don't really need anything. In fact, I've said this for 2 days now on the air. Look, you give me a hug and a bag of beef jerky, I'm happy. I mean, I'm good. You know, Father's mm-hmm. Day is fulfilled. I'm good. You know, or a phone call, I guess, if your kids are far away. That mm-hmm. that's all I need. You know, I'm not looking for a new table saw or something like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, I've got some good things planned for my husband, but when I ordered it, I thought it would be here sooner, so it's going to be a little delayed, so that's kind of a bummer, but
yeah.
I'll figure some stuff.
Okay, let's give you some Father's Day statistics. The world's oldest Father's Day card. Remember, Father's Day has only been an official tradition in the U.S. since 1972. That's when Richard Nixon signed and made it official.
But
they say the world's oldest Father's Day card is a 4,000-year-old Babylonian tablet that a young boy named Elmisu carved to wish his father a long life and good health. So it's not really a Father's Day card, but it's a card for mm-hmm. his father.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sweet, though. The father with the most children ever in history, they believe, is a guy by the name of Ismail Ibn Sharif, an Alawite sultan. I guess that's Africa somewhere, or maybe Egypt. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he fathered 888 children.
Stop it.
With hundreds of wives and concubines. This was in the 1600s.
I can't believe that. I thought Warren Jeffs would have beat him for sure.
I'm just thinking, there's no way he remembered all their names. Like he probably didn't even know some of them, right?
How is that possible? No way.
Father seahorses are the only male animals to become pregnant. They accept around 50 to 1,500 eggs from the female, fertilize them, and then keep them in their bellies for several weeks until they mature, at which time they leave the bellies. I'm not sure how. Somebody can look that up if they want to. I don't care. So the kids are born, I guess, of their father.
Wow.
Yeah. Did not know that.
I did not.
Chromosomes from the father determine the sex of their offspring. We probably all knew this. Mothers always pass on the X chromosomes, mm-hmm. and then it's up to the father to pass on an X or a Y, determining whether or not is a male or female.
Mm.
Although nowadays, I guess you can declare yourself something other than male or female whenever you want to. And not really. Mm. I don't believe that at all. Okay. About the word dad, of course, we called fathers dads here in the United States. Some other parts of the world, in Ireland, they say dade, D-A-I-D.
Okay.
In Welsh, it's tad, T-A-D. Mm. Greek, it's tata.
Really?
Tata means dad, although if you want to call him father, you call him pater or potter, P-A-T-E-R. Hmm. In Lithuanian, it's tete, and in Sanskrit, it's tata, T-A-T-A-H.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, isn't that like a grandpa name or something, or is that grandma? I can't remember.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. And then maybe, perhaps I think maybe the funniest statistic of all. Every year, Americans buy somewhere in the neighborhood of 85 million Father's Day cards. And among those 85 million Father's Day cards, about 35 million of them never get sent.
Really?
We buy the cards, and I don't know, you set them on a shelf, you just never send them to Dad.
That's so sad. Poor Dad.
It cracks me up, though, man. It's like, I don't know. I guess the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Isn't that mm-hmm. the saying?
Yeah.
I got you something, Dad. I didn't send it to you, but I got it for you.
Right. And happy Father's Day.
Cracks me up. Anyway, all right, Father's Day coming up. Your dad had some health problems, but he's mm-hmm. hanging in there. What are you doing for Pops? You got any plans for Dad?
He's actually driving back today from California.
I hope when you say driving, he's riding, not driving.
I'm sorry, he's riding.
Okay.
Riding shotgun.
And
so we're doing a little bit of a reunion with some of his brothers and his sister tomorrow.
Nice.
And then I'll make Sunday dinner like I always do. And
what is your dad like? Does he have some kind of old school pot roast or kind of something?
He does like roast and potatoes.
Yeah,
and I make a really mean chicken noodle soup. He likes that too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Homemade noodles, right?
No.
No.
Oh, they are egg noodles, though. I could do that. I have done that in the past, but no.
Yeah, no. That, yeah.
That's okay. A lot of work.
Sorry. I know.
But even for Father's Day, yeah. That's
what
work.
What about your husband? And this is a weird point of contention, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have always contended, my wife is not my mother. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, why would I buy a whole bunch of stuff for my wife on Mother's Day? And I get corrected, of course, by my sister mostly saying, yeah, but she's the mother of your children.
That's right.
Sir,
that's
you
right.
Better do something. And I do something. But I think it should be about your moms more than about your wives. So anyway, my mom has passed away, which is very sad. But I certainly really my thoughts were about her on Mother's Day. Father's Day, yeah, we're going to do something for my dad. I told my wife, I said, you don't have to give me anything. I'm not your dad.
Oh, you did not. I think she still should because, yes, you are the father of her children, and she wouldn't have children without you. So
that's
why I think it's important. And I always just take the kids and let them pick out something for their dads. And I'll even let, like, my older kids that are at home, I'll help them, like, pick something out for their dad and just send it to him, too, because that's nice. Their dad.
Now, you have sons. How many sons do you have?
I have three sons.
Three sons. Do you are they fathers, all three of them?
Two of them are. One's eight.
Oh.
No, I lied
right,
to you.
Right.
I lied to you. One of them is, but he has two sons.
Okay, so do you feel like you should do something for your son on who's the father on Father's Day?
No, I call him.
Okay.
I call him. And I did buy him a shirt one time that says Helicopter Dad. That's what I did.
I hope there's more meaning than what it implies.
No, he is definitely a helicopter dad.
Really?
Yeah, like
really?
I'll be holding the baby on the couch, and if I start to fall asleep, he like comes under like I'm going to drop the child. Like I haven't had 30 years of practice.
I have a bunch of kids of my own, you know. Yeah.
Yes, like I'm going to drop his child.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's definitely a helicopter dad.
We get that, and hopefully they're not here listening to this, but my son and his wife have four kids, and it's amazing how they think we know nothing about children.
No.
It's like, oh, you need to do this, and you need to, you can't change a diaper. You don't know how to do it right. Like, you know how many diapers I've changed?
Right.
Thousands.
Yes,
right?
I'm an expert.
And yet I don't know how to do it, apparently.
No. So. No, my daughter's really funny, too, with her baby. Like, she doesn't want a sheet on the pack and play because that could cause, like, maybe suffocation of some kind.
Oh, a little infant death thing.
Yeah,
or
so
something.
It has to be just the surface, no extra sheet. I'm like, why would you? Then you're going to have a dirty mattress.
Yeah.
I don't know. They can do whatever they want. And they don't put socks on their kids anymore.
Wait, what?
On babies. They don't put socks on babies.
Why would you not put socks on babies?
They don't. I think they do it to irritate me. I think they really
okay,
do.
Okay, that's a valid reason right there.
Yeah, no. They don't need any thing on their sock. I'm like, their feet are cold. They're like, their feet are fine.
No.
I'm like, just put socks. They're like, no, that's we don't put fine. Socks on them. They
that's,
don't walk. They don't need
silly.
Socks.
They do need socks.
I know. I agree.
They do need socks. Okay, but that opens up the debate. The nighttime go-to-bed debate about socks and going to bed. I am firmly in one camp. I believe, and not I believe, I feel, I know, I've got to wear socks to bed. My feet get so cold if I don't wear socks to bed.
That is ridiculous, Andy.
Really?
That's a circulation issue.
Maybe, but I still get cold feet.
You get cold feet. No, if
I don't wear socks to bed.
No, I cannot wear socks.
And
as
it'll
as
wake me up
off.
And it'll ruin my night if I don't have my feet covered.
Don't you have a blanket?
Yeah, but you got to have socks because...
Oh, that is... I can only see wearing socks to bed if you're doing something like putting lotion on your feet before bed to keep your feet soft. And I would only do that maybe once a week. I don't think I've ever slept with socks on.
Really?
Never.
Really?
Not one time.
Wow. Okay. We need some user opinions on this one because this is very, very important.
No, it's
not. 435-467-5842 to text me. Please text me. And socks to bed or no. I get cold. It wakes me. It bothers me enough to wake me up at night if I don't have socks. And now a psychologist will say, well, it harkens back. I remember as a missionary. So I'm a tall dude. I'm 6'5", right? And when I was a missionary, you know, they have these apartments pre-set up for you. You get transferred into an area or whatever. And I had many, I would say most, if not all, of the beds I slept on as a missionary were too short for me. And so my feet hung off the end of the bed. And a psychologist would say, well, the reason that you get cold feet, it's all psychological because even though your bed is long enough now, it harkens back to when the beds were too short for you and you can't get that out of your psyche. I disagree with that because cold is cold.
Have you always worn socks to bed? Or did that start when your feet started getting cold?
I don't remember. I've always, okay. I guess I would say yes. Probably I always have because I don't remember not wearing socks today.
Okay, so I don't like to tell you this because it doesn't benefit my point.
Okay, wait. But, and I got some texts too, so we can see if who's back and who.
Okay, well it
you
says,
go first.
It says, yes, wearing socks to bed can be beneficial for many, particularly those with cold feet or circulation issues or who experience hot flashes from menopause.
Well, I don't get that.
I know.
But, yeah.
Wearing socks can regulate core body temperature, promote sleep, and even help prevent attacks of Raynaud's phenomenon. I don't know what that is.
But see, that's why you didn't want to tell me because
I know,
it backed
but I'm
up
honest.
My theory.
I know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You will be happy to know. So you gave news backing me up. I'm going to give news backing you
up. Hallelujah.
I have gotten so far three texts. No way to socks. Absolutely no socks. My feet are always outside the covers. Absolutely, positively no socks when I sleep. So you got three people already weighing in on your side of
Team no socks because socks.
Yeah. Socks sucks. Socks suck. That's hard to say.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I thought, honestly, just so. Growing up, I thought, because my dad had a little bit of neuropathy, you know, numb feet. Mm-hmm. I thought that was normal. So when I got neuropathy, I'm like, oh, I'm just getting old. Well, as it turns out, that's not normal. It's a sign of a bigger problem, depending on what they are. In my case, I have some thyroid issues. They believe that's why. Or, you know, when doctors can't figure something out, you know what word they like to use? They like to use the word idiopathic. You know what idiopathic means? Your doctor's an idiot. No, I didn't say it. It means they can't find a specific reason why something happens. But, idiopathic. I have idiopathic neuropathy, apparently. And so I thought that having neuropathy was normal. I also thought wearing socks to bed was, I thought everybody did.
No, but somebody on line one may want to weigh in. I don't know exactly what
they
want to talk about.
Okay, let's hear it. What do you got for us there on line
Dale.
One? Dale. Are you there, Dale? Okay, wait, let's try. How about Dale? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got three things. One is no socks.
Thank you.
Two is I was born on the 13th.
Yes.
It wasn't a Friday, but I had fun playing with it because every time somebody asks me when I'm born, I say, I'm a Friday the 13th baby. And, and they always laugh and. And they kind of remember my birthday because I always say, yeah, I'm a Friday the 13th, baby.
That's awesome.
It kind of gives them a little remembrance of when I was born. Melody, I want to, you last week, you said mothers have it where I agree with you. There's not a dad in this world, I shouldn't say that, 99.9, that could take four children to Walmart and shop, go home, feed them, put up with her husband when he comes home from work because he thinks he's worked hard all day and change the diaper. So, Melody, I want to let you know, I've dealt with, in fact, I have to tell you, one of my church leaders once said, one thing irritates him when he goes out and visits, and the man's sitting on the couch instead of out visiting or doing what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because men think that because they work 8 hours, it's a right for them to come home and just lay around while the wife works 8 hours. Comes home and fix the meal and make sure the kids are in bed on time. So, Melody, congratulations to you and all you women out there.
Thank you.
Even though this is Father's Day, we don't deserve it. You do.
You're a sweetheart, Dale.
Thanks, Dale. Right now I'm turning Dale down because I don't like everything that's being said right now. You know what? I suppose in traditional ways that is true. I don't feel like every family is like, I mean, you always have to be careful when you stereotype and generalize, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
You know,
my wife and I did laundry together last night for about an hour, and it was a nice experience. And it wasn't her doing more or me doing more. It was us doing it together.
Yeah, I will say, my husband was really nice last night. Like, I had worked because I'd been coming in and helping here. So I was here at 5:30, and then I worked all day, and I didn't get home until, 6:30 at work because Anyway, so I get home and I was sitting down just resting and he made dinner. And really? That was super nice. Yeah. So he'll make dinner sometimes, and it's nice when you both help and contribute.
The only bad thing I would say is the surprise sound in your voice that he made dinner. Like this rarely happens.
No, he does. He cooks a lot because I work a lot during the week. I cook on the weekends more.
I did want to ask you, but we only have about 2 minutes till break, about your experience of coming in at 5:30 and, and preparing the news. How did you like that? For those folks that don't know, Melody has come in not today, but on Wednesday and Thursday, she came in very early and helped prepare the news and kind of, worked through the morning show with me. How did you feel about that?
Doing the news was interesting because you're kind of preparing what everybody's going to hear and talk about during the day, maybe, about what was going on. So you got to be particular about what you're choosing. And then it comes down on the wire, so you're looking through lots of stories and trying to get it. And then you have to truncate whatever you're getting so it's just a bulletin, right? So it can be quick.
Yeah, it's got to be quick, yep.
And then I think the most nerve-wracking part is then, since my eyes aren't as great as they used to be, I have to make the font a little bigger. So I have all of these pages. I have like 7 pages for 7 stories. And like the first one kind of went pretty good. I just kind of went in order. And then you kind of have to delete stuff as you're going because you're like, wow, that's too long. That's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So then you kind of went through. And then the next time I did it, I was reading through it. And then I was talking about Governor Cox. And then I went to turn the page. It was the wrong page. I was like, oh, no. And so I'm just like hemming and hawing.
Right after that, we had a discussion about numbering pages and stories because you were lost for a minute. I mean, you did okay. But, man, there was a minute there where I was like, uh-oh, do I need to jump in?
You're like, I'm going to let her figure this out.
It's like when you see someone flopping around in the water and you're like, do they need rescue? Do I need to jump in? Mm-hmm. What's going on there? And then you were able to fortunately find the right page. It is a panicky feeling when you're looking. So you have pages and you look at where you think the story is and it's not the right story or you can't find the keywords you were looking for. That is a terrible feeling.
It was nerve-wracking. And then the next time I was reading it, and you know how you get like a little, like you swallow wrong and you get like a little hiccup in your throat? Mm-hmm. I had one of those and I was like, well, shoot, do I just breathe and like keep talking and my voice is getting weaker and weaker? Or do I like stop and turn and then like cough, you know, away from the mic? So eventually I did that. So I don't know. I have a great respect for everything that you do and get ready. And then when you gave me the list, because I was thinking about maybe coming in and doing the show while you were gone next week, like the whole show. Every 2 or 3 minutes, you are putting something else on. You are calling somebody and you are putting them on. It was overwhelming. And yes, I think I could do it, but could I manage to learn it in 2 days? No.
The morning show pressure timeline is relentless from 6 to 9. We have a little more freedom from 9 to 10, thank goodness, but it's relentless. Every, like you said, every 2 or 3 minutes there's a new element, there's something new, and I actually, once you get it down, it's pretty fun. I equate it to, like, every morning I have this jigsaw puzzle and I got to put all the pieces together to make it fit. And I like that. I thrive on that. But other people would not. There are people who would crumble under the pressure and there are people, but like I said, I think you could do it, but I think you probably need some time with it first.
I would like to shadow you and I would like the opportunity to like sit in your chair and have you be behind so I could say, oh, Andy, now what? And then I could make sure it's not screwed up for the whole show. Yeah. I wouldn't want to mess up your show.
9:31, by the way, on KDXU. We got to get some weather in. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of the headlines that are making news today and our reaction to those, including organized, protests in Salt Lake over ICE and immigration. We'll talk about that and more when we come back on The Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
The debate rages on. Do you wear socks to bed or no? I've had a couple people text in and say, I can't wear socks to bed because my feet get sweaty. Mm. And then they get cold because they're wet. Interesting theory there. Mm. Mello and I are exact opposites when it comes to this. I have to wear socks to bed. My feet get cold if I don't. She says, no, in fact, you can't even offer the other perspective because you've never
Right? No, unless never I've been so tired that I fell asleep with my clothes and socks and shoes on, I haven't. Oh,
wow.
Like, I sleep and I, like, have half the blankets off and my leg hanging out on the side. I want to be nice and cool.
I can tell you, overwhelmingly, in fact, I've gotten a bunch of texts that say no socks. I have not gotten one single text that supports me, so apparently I'm the weirdo.
You're not the weirdo. You just like to have your feet warm. Maybe get a warming blanket. You know what you should do? Get one of those, like, heating pads and just put it under the bottom of your feet.
Oh, yeah. Or I could just wear socks to bed.
Oh, that's so silly. I don't know. I wouldn't do that, but I'm glad it works for you.
All right. A couple of headlines from the news today. Wildfire is burning in the rural area between the Kane and Garfield County borders. It is uncontained right now. They are working on that. And last night, more than 1,000 people filled the streets of downtown Salt Lake City, disrupting traffic, but not burning cars or looting businesses like happened in L.A. In fact, police called it mostly peaceful. They only made one arrest the entire night, and it was because two of the protesters got in a fight with each other.
No way.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Police were proactive, though. Before the demonstration started, as people were starting to gather, they were passing out flyers with basically the flyer said, this is what you can do for a peaceful protest. This is what will get you arrested. A flyer, right? Oh. So they knew. People were looking at it going, okay, I don't want to get arrested.
No, thanks.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I asked Jimmy earlier today on our little political segment we do every morning. I said, are these protests, are they organized? Is someone paying for all this? Because that's the rumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, absolutely they are. And in fact, now that the FBI is not in Joe Biden's pocket, they're actually going to investigate. They're going to find out who's behind these things.
Yeah, because I bet it's Soros.
The ones in L.A., they were passing out these $150 face mask, tear gas face mask things. And there's no way all those people that were protesting can afford a $150 face mask thing. So somebody was behind all that.
Mm-hmm.
So
certainly.
And I know you have your theories on who that might actually be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I do know this, that I am a firm believer in peaceful protests and America and the freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. I am not a believer in someone doing, in my opinion, committing treason by paying for these things so that they can today is supposed to be No King's Day, right, around America. They're going to protest because they say Donald Trump thinks he's a king, which is
it was a joke.
It's stupid. Yeah. It's just stupid. But anyway, we even had Rory O'Neill comes on. He's the NBC News radio guy. He's a journalist, so he tries to go down the middle. But most journalists I've ever met, including Rory, are a little bit left leaning, a little bit, right? He said that people calling it King's Day because they're having that military parade today in Washington, D.C. He said that is the stupidest thing he's ever heard. He said this is a celebration of the anniversary of our military being formed in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with Donald Trump and whether they think he thinks he's a king or a dictator or a tyrant or whatever. Has nothing to do with any of that.
Mm-mm.
And yet they're all linking it together and going, wow, this is like, you know, the goose stepping Adolf Hitler said.
No, it's not at all. They just have to spin it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Have a little bit of good news, I guess. Good news. Social Security's cost of living adjustment is looks like it's going to go up about 2.5% for next year. So if you, if you get a Social Security check, now the adjustment is supposed to match the adjusted for inflation is what they call it. I don't know that 2.5% really adjusts for inflation. I mean, if you bought a loaf of bread for $4, you know what I'm talking about. It's a little more than that as far as inflation. But, 2.5% is the amount that theoretically, your Social Security check is going to go up in 2026. We'll see about that. I'm not sure. But.
Fantastic. Hey, guess what? You have one person in St. George who agrees with you, and she's on line one.
I have a sock supporter. Okay. What's her name?
Elaine.
Elaine, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, you know, I always wear socks. I've worn them forever. Soft and fuzzy socks at night. Can't sleep without them.
I love it.
So I agree. I agree with you.
Thank you, Elaine. You and I apparently are in the minority, but...
I know, but I love them. But I enjoy your show. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
and nice Father's
you
Day.
Too. Thanks for calling. Oh, yes, you wish me a happy Father's Day, too. I appreciate that.
Do you wear fuzzy socks, too, Andy?
I just wear socks. Regular socks.
Okay.
I don't know. They're, I guess they're somewhat fuzzy. But,
like, you know, like the fuzzy slipper socks make your feet be 125 degrees.
Well, you know, it's weird. I find this weird. My wife seems like she always has cold feet, but to her, it doesn't really matter if she wears it. She usually does wear socks because I do, but to her, I don't think it really matters whether she wears socks or not. And I thought, well, your feet are always cold. Aren't they cold at night, too? I don't know.
I'm glad there was a loan supporter for you. Oh, maybe one more. I'm going to grab it.
Okay, you grab the phone, and I'll talk about this. This one is, I kind of wanted to wait and get Mello's reaction. So I will talk for a minute here before I give you this. There is, by the way, a patriotic exhibit at the St. George Library right now. This is a national exhibit. It goes around the country, and I think it's kind of cool. It's called American Battlefield Trust. It's for Flag Day tomorrow, and it's part of the America 250 celebration. It will be in St. George Library from tomorrow through next Thursday. So go by and check it. I know I'm going to. It's going to be really cool. Mello, I know we have a caller. We'll get to them in just a second. Mm-hmm. But I did want to ask you, or I did want to tell you, but so one of my phobias, we all have like things that were just kind of creep us out a little bit, right? One of mine is kind of claustrophobia, being trapped in a small space. I'm not claustrophobic. Like, I can get in an elevator. I can go through a car wash and stuff like that. But this one got me. Yesterday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a guy was, I mean, I don't want to report this. This is terrible. He was underneath one of those manufactured homes. They were setting it. He was in the crawl space, and the house shifted and landed on him. He
Stop it.
Had a house land on him in the crawl space. He is in the hospital right now in critical condition. They had to start CPR, so I don't know if he's going to make it or not. But can you even picture that, a house landing on you?
No.
Everybody's like, you're silly for being claustrophobic. I would not go in our crawl space. We had a manufactured home when we first bought a house. I wouldn't go in there. I'm like, no,
really?
I'm not doing that. And everybody's like, they're like, why? And I'm like, well, you know, first of all, there's critters down there. And second of all, what if the house falls on you? And they're like, oh, it's not going to fall on you. You're ridiculous. Well, it fell on this guy.
Well, he was probably setting up the support.
He was, but
it.
Still, I mean, you know.
We lost our line one. Sorry.
Oh, we lost him. Okay.
Yeah, the only thing I can't do that's kind of claustrophobic-ish is I went to Disney World, and, you know, you can, like, put this, like, what is that? Like, when you put the thing around your mouth where you can swim underwater but still
snorkel.
Breathe the air. The snorkel.
Yeah.
You had to put the snorkel on, and then you could swim across, and you could see all the fish and the sea critters.
Oh, I love snorkeling, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't. I got, like, not claustrophobic, I started hyperventilating.
Well, you know what? Snorkeling takes a little bit of getting used to, because if you try to breathe in through the snorkel and you get that water up your nose or your mouth, that's terrible.
I had it so I could just breathe the air, but just having a limited amount of air was frightening for me.
No,
I couldn't do it.
No, that's understandable. I guess you've never been scuba diving, right? Where you put the thing in your mouth. I haven't either, so I can't speak to that. By the way, tonight there is something called the Firehouse Frenzy. The Firehouse Frenzy is a race. It's an easy one, a 1K and a 5K. And the reason they call it the Firehouse Frenzy is at the end or during the course of the run, you can actually, the firemen will spray you with the hose if you want. Now, you can signal, don't spray me, I don't want that. But most people, you know, as hot as it is, they're like, yeah, go ahead and spray me. It's put on by St. George City. It's out at Desert Color. The race is at 8:30 for the 1K, 9 o'clock for the 5K. After it's over, our own Marianne Hamilton will be leading a water aerobics class in the lagoon there at Desert Color.
How sweet.
What kind of fun.
I love it.
The bad news now with that, it's full. You can't, you can go run for fun, but you won't be sanctioned. You won't get a t-shirt and all that stuff. But the water aerobics part is available, and you can go hang out and be cool and actually be hot. Firehouse Frenzy tonight. All right, we got to get another commercial break in, and hopefully our caller will call. We lost somebody, but hopefully they'll come back. Also, you can text me anytime you want at 435-467-5842. I hope this is a sock supporter here. Before I go to break, Mello, they said, okay, two texts. One says, my husband wears socks to bed. He has no circulation issues, but I wear no socks to bed. 50-50. Been married 56 years.
Aww, congratulations.
They agreed to disagree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another person said, actually, they're splitting the debate here. They say, yeah, I wear socks in the winter.
a bit. In the summer, I don't.
Okay.
Food for socks. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, Leanne, I'm going to read your text, but I don't like it. Leanne texted in and said, I have a husband to warm my feet. I don't need socks.
I like her.
Leanne, come on.
Hey, we got Richard back on line one for us.
Leanne is, her husband and I are really good friends, and first of all, I'm going to totally razz him about that, number one. And number two, I'm going to, I got to call out Leanne for making me look bad. Now, my wife can't warm my feet because I'm 6'5 and she's 5'4.
There you go.
Right, my feet are way down. I don't know. All right, let's go to Richard. Richard, thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling back. Appreciate it, man. What's up?
100% socks, man.
You're a sock guy. Yay! We got another one. Woohoo!
ever since I had my knee replaced, that metal gets cold, so I got to have knee highs even.
I wear compression ones all the way up to the knees too, so my lower legs stay warm. I like it.
Jay, what have you heard about Israel kicking some Iran butt today?
Yeah, the
war going on over there.
Yeah, the latest I've heard is that President Trump was going to negotiate with some Iranian leaders about this whole nuclear thing, and Iran has called those negotiations off. And the latest I heard was they had to call him off because all the guys he was going to negotiate with are dead. That's what I heard.
That's what I heard. He's knocked out like 20 of their top generals and stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So, that's a good start, but yeah, it's kind of scary when they're days away, they said, from having enough stuff to make 9 nuclear bombs.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, these are people who chant death to America on a regular basis. Having one of them have a nuclear missile, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea because somebody, some nut job is going to send that thing off. And then we got World War III.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, have a good Friday.
Thanks Richard. Sir. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, so on line two, we've got one of my buddies from Rolling Stone, Robert. He listens all the time.
What's up, Robert?
Hey, okay, I'm half and half on the sock thing.
Yeah?
I wear them and I sleep when I'm hunting because it's usually a little chillier.
Okay.
Okay, but...
At home?
Other than that?
No.
Once in a while, only if I forget to take them off.
That's right.
Well, my contention, Robert, is that my feet get cold and they wake me up, and that's why I think wearing socks for me is important. Do your feet get hot if you leave them on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I do end up taking them off when I realize that I've left them on.
Okay. All
right. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I usually go sockless. However, when I was quite young, my grandmother called me rambunctious, and she said, sing at the table, dance at the bed, the devil will grab you by the hair of your head. For about a year after that, my mom would send us to bed, and I would go get my winter beanie and wear my winter beanie so he couldn't grab my hair.
Good story, Rob. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
See ya. Bye.
My mom used to grab, not the devil, my mom used to grab us by the hair or the ear because me and my brothers were tall and she couldn't grab our, so she would grab our ears or whatever or our hair and try to talk to us. And then we always got to hear those words, you wait till your father gets home.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
My sister, when I was little, told me that there was an alligator under my bed at night. So I was always afraid to, like, I believed it. Like, my arm or leg over the side of the bed, I would never. I've just barely, like, I know it's an irrational thing, but I'm always afraid of something under my bed grabbing. So just recently, I forced myself to, like, hang a leg over, an arm over, to try and get rid of that fear.
I got one. I've never told anyone this ever in my life.
So excited. Thank you.
It's a minor thing, but it's something I never told anyone. I believed when I was a kid and I was scared at night, that the blanket had a magic force field.
Oh.
And as long as I had the blanket on, nothing, no monsters or vampires or alligator or anything mm-hmm. could get me because I had the force field. And sometimes I would wake up and the blanket would be off of me. And I'd hurry and grab it and pull it because I needed that force field.
Oh, my gosh. You want to hear a sweet story about going to sleep at night? When I was little, me and my sister shared a bed. We were the two youngest kids. And we would hold hands when we're falling asleep. And we would talk through what our dream was going to be. And we'd go in our dreams together.
Oh,
not so sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Sisters.
That is very sweet. By the way, that rhyme the guy said about the dancing in bed and the devil, I had learned it, sing at the table, laugh in bed, and the devil will get you when you're dead.
Oh, so I never even heard that rhyme.
Yeah, that's the one we had.
So the rhyme my grandma used to say was, mm-hmm. tobacco is a filthy weed. From the devil it doth proceed. It stains the teeth and stinks the clothes and makes a chimney of your nose.
Our grandma's great.
They're the best.
Yeah.
I love
grandma's
that.
Grandma's great. So, it looks like we got 3 minutes. I'm going to tell a story about my grandma bar. One summer we went and my sister and I, my older sister and I stayed with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma was very pious, very religious, very righteous lady. Very, I mean, you just, you know, you, everything was mm-hmm. yeah. And one night everyone else had gone to bed and I was sitting in the basement of her house watching the Johnny Carson show.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one, the first guest on the Johnny Carson show that night. Oh, and my grandma, I guess she had finished whatever she was up to. She came and sat on the couch by me, which I thought, oh, that's kind of sweet. My little pious grandma watching Johnny Carson. Okay.
Mm.
And the first guest on the show was Charo. Do you remember Charo?
Mm-mm.
Charo used to come out and Charo would wear,
flamboyant?
Well, she wasn't heavily clothed.
Okay.
Especially up in the top half where she Ooh. Was amply endowed.
Got you.
So anyway, I guess to simplify things, her boobs were hanging out all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting on the couch, and Johnny Carson gets up, and my first guest, it's Charo. She comes out, and she's got this little skimpy thing on, and she's kind of shimmying her chest and shaking her things. And my pious little grandma, who I'd never heard say anything improper ever, puts her hand up to her cheek and goes, "Oh my hell!" I couldn't believe. I was floored. I could not believe my grandma would say that.
A bad word.
I was shocked. I was stunned. Yeah. And then she got up and left the room too.
So she didn't make you turn it off.
No, she didn't. She just got up and left.
You know, my mom would never let us watch Three's Company or The Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah, because the Three's Company had a man and two women living together.
Oh, yeah, no, I love that mm-hmm. show, yeah.
Yeah, we were not allowed to watch
Mr.
it in my
Roper
house.
And, yeah.
Nope. And The Simpsons, of all things.
The Simpsons, yeah.
And it's still on.
I have some relatives who were anti-Simpsons because he'd say things like, "Eat my shorts" and stuff like that. And I realized after a while, it's pretty harmless. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't feel like my kids learned life lessons from The Simpsons. I think they took it for what it was. It was a silly cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like you and I when we watched, you know, Roadrunner and Coyote and an anvil would fall and smush the coyote. We didn't really think anvils could just smush us and we'd pop back into place, right? We knew that it was a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm getting a couple of other texts in here.
Oh, we got one more caller.
Let's see. Oh, we got a caller too? All right. I'll turn your mic down so you can talk to them. This text, and we only have a minute left, so this text, I think we missed your big announcement yesterday. We had to run errands. Did I have a big announcement yesterday, Mella? Well, she's on the phone right now. So they said I had a big announcement. Did I have a big announcement yesterday?
Yesterday you had a big announcement?
I don't remember.
I'll have to text and say what that announcement is. But Wayne is on line one if you want to try and grab him.
Okay, Wayne, we got 30 seconds, man. Fire away.
Okay, I worked in Las Vegas for about 23 years at a major hotel. We not only had a 13th floor.
Really?
1313.
Really?
And I never heard, in all those years, I never heard one incident of that room or we didn't have any incidents on the 13th floor that
awesome.
I recall.
Nice. Appreciate you weighing in on that. We're
Thank
out of
you.
Time. Yeah, I'm not superstitious. Maybe a little stitches, but not superstitious. We got to go. Thanks for listening, everybody.